Good evening, world. This is the podcast House of Frost, and your host, Laura Cattell, welcoming you back to another probably heavy day of manifesting change. It couldn't be easier from one of the featured authors on The Secret, Mike Dooley. Excuse me. And we've been going over some pretty heavy stuff. I mean, most of the book covers some pretty heavy topics, but this one, this particular chapter, Understanding Adversity, obviously, what is adversity? Adversity is all the bad stuff that happens, quote-unquote, bad stuff. Because it's bad stuff when you're in the middle of it, and it hurts, and it feels painful, and it's traumatic, and it's life-altering, and you're in the midst of all of this chaos. Comes with some pretty big requests. Chiefly among those is to take full responsibility for everything that happens in your life. Because only then can you move forward with power over everything that happens in your life. You can't have one without the other, even when the quote-unquote bad stuff happens. Bad stuff put in quotation marks, because once you get enough distance away from the event that happened, you realize certain truths that you came to the realization of, you learned different things, you know new things, you get a deeper level of understanding and compassion through those things. And they're very difficult topics to cover because a lot of times we don't like getting over trauma. It becomes an identifying mark, something that we merge with our identity instead of it being a lesson for us to learn. I remember hearing one time from, You know what? I'll be honest. I forget who I heard it from. But it was a well-known speaker on the topic. And he, with a slight smile on his face, told the crowd, "People will actually fight to hold on to pain because they are scared of who they would be without it." It gets you sympathy. It gets you remorse from other people, otherwise known as victimhood status. But it's not a place of power to be operating from, to consider yourself a victim constantly and repeatedly. That keeps you down and downtrodden. You need to be the victor, not the victim. And you are the victor. Because every single thing that you've come across in this life that you thought was going to be life-ending, you couldn't go on, you couldn't possibly do anything, and yet you're still here. You're not a victim. You are not a victim. You are a victor. You overcame the things that were supposed to, by your limited perspective at the time, end you. You didn't die. You survived. You licked your wounds. You gave yourself some distance. You grieved. You got back up, and you did it again. Probably differently this time. You learned some things, you grew. And it's only when you give yourself enough distance and you look back, when you have the space inside and it doesn't hurt and everything's not throbbing and painful anymore, and you realize that you wouldn't be the person you are today, wouldn't have the compassion, wouldn't have the insights, if you had not gone through that thing, as painful and traumatic as it was. And I will back that up. I will absolutely back that up because I have been through one of those experiences. I've been through actually a couple of those experiences. One of them really, really, really traumatic, and the other few decently traumatic, but once you get enough distance from the experience, okay? I was bullied from first grade through 12th. I can spot a bully now from a mile away. I can teach my kids how to spot bullies. I can teach my kids how to stand up to bullies. Because I was bullied. I don't let myself get bullied by micromanaging managers from places. I don't let myself get walked over or rode over by other people who maybe are cocky or have less than my best interests in mind. I learned how to stand up for myself. And that's just one. When my son died in my arms. Took me a long time to get over that one. But I did. That doesn't mean that I forgot about him. That doesn't mean that I forgot what happened or that I consider him any less part of my family. I learned to get second opinions. I learned that not all doctors are the same. I learned that they are just as flawed and fallible, and that you have every right to get a second opinion or to refuse medical procedures. I learned a lot. Chiefly of which, I also learned not to completely ever trust the medical establishment. Because they are limited in their capacities of what they're taught. Sometimes what they're taught doesn't work. Not that I'm completely dissing the advancements in medical understandings. No. What I'm saying is, you've got to make sure that you are critically thinking enough to go and get other differing opinions, because different levels of education create different results. One case in point of this, even after my son's death, is one of my family members, I'm going to leave who they are nameless and titleless so that you can't guess, but one of my family members went to a doctor in their area. The doctor was old and only knew X amount of things they could do to solve the problem that they had, which was neuropathy in their foot. It was causing, I forget what it was, maybe it wasn't neuropathy, it was something else, was causing the toes to painfully cramp in. They couldn't walk, they couldn't stand for very long without it hurting. Now, the doctor that this person had gone to for many years, who was an older doctor getting ready to retire, kept saying there wasn't anything they could do. Well, they asked for a recommendation to someone else, and they got it. This new doctor happened to be very young and was absolutely flabbergasted to find out that my family member had been having this pain, because he was able to solve it in 15 minutes. Now this family member walks around pain-free, completely. All Right? Differences in perspective. Differences in level of education. Differences in available research and what has been discovered. If all you're ever doing is listening to one, just one opinion, one story, one perspective, one narrative, you will never ever discover if in fact that had been wrong. And because of that, I've become quite the avid researcher. When something is presented to me, I make it a point to discover the good and the bad, the pros and the cons, this person's perspective versus that person's perspective, and I apply that to everything in my life. Because I know the consequences of what happens when you don't. And as much as we want to try and save people from having to learn things the hard way, sometimes that's the only way people learn. So when you take that giant step back, and you look back at all those painful experiences, that in their moment of pain and anguish and suffering, you were asking why are you putting me through this? Why are you doing this to me? The answer doesn't become readily apparent because you're too close to it. And it doesn't become apparent until many years later sometimes. So, yesterday we left off with get back in the saddle and ride, I believe. Yeah, I do believe that's where we left off with. So, before I get any farther, my shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for enduring the hardships that you've been through, and you're still somehow going. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, frustrated, and too stressed out, and you think you can't possibly do another day, please take a walk, a bath, a shower, a breath, a pause before you do something you can't take back. You are valued, you are deserving, you are worthwhile, you are worthy. All the good things you think about and dream about and hope for. Don't let temporary upsets keep you from living the rest of your life. And they are all temporary upsets. Right. To quote Mr. Dooley from yesterday. 2 or 3 years into my new journey, once my life began purring again out of simple human curiosity, I wondered, man, what happened back when I thought my train had crashed? But looking back over my shoulder, to my total amazement, I couldn't find any remnants of a crash. In actuality and with hindsight, it became clear that there never was a train crash. And you might be thinking that that's easy to ascribe to one career ending and another career beginning versus loss and suffering and war and trauma and all of those things, but the reality is they're not. And like we went over in Littlest Heroes, what if you could just trade one lifetime, one little blip in the expanse of the infinite. To go teach this person something, or to go be that lesson for someone else, to go show someone else the folly of their ways, or the error of their ways. One reincarnation out of trillions upon trillions. But even more than that, when you're looking at it from the perspective of you return to the energy body that you are after this avatar has been used up, you don't have the same perspective. You can approach things with a relative degree of confidence, even if those things include death and suffering. Because you know it's only going to last for X amount of years out of infinity. And again, I postulated even greater than that back a couple of podcasts ago. You might have signed up for these lessons in this lifetime because you needed them for another lifetime. The lessons you learn here might not even be for this iteration of you. Maybe you decide to incarnate on another planet, another lifetime, and you need the lessons you learned here for there. And again, we also discussed that infinity doesn't just stretch ahead of you, it also stretches behind you. Maybe you wanted to incarnate as somebody from the 1880s. Or the 1600s, or AD 2, or BC 5. All right. You can't know from this limited perspective. And so he admonishes you to not try and explain it. Just accept it and acknowledge it, and then go do something else that tickles your fancy. Have an end result in mind and work from that. Start creating the future you want. It doesn't mean there won't be bumps in the road. All right. Again, those teach you the intestinal fortitude required to get to the places that you want to go to, that you say you want to embody and be. It requires a much different level of person than you are now to be a millionaire versus the person you are now who is middle class, poverty level. I'm not sure, whoever's listening to this. Requires a different level of understanding, requires a different perspective, requires a different skill set, knowledge bank, experience lived. Alright. So, get back in the saddle and ride. When it comes into turning adversity into adventure, one of the most empowering things anyone can do after being bucked off by life is to get back in the saddle and ride. Nothing will take your eye off a gloomy past or present quicker than casting your attention to the future. You've got the rest of your life ahead of you. Don't wallow in self-pity. You may have earned the right to wallow. You may deserve to take some time off. And you may have been through, quote-unquote, hell by now. But beyond a few weeks or months, wallowing isn't going to serve you. Losing a child and a spouse. One of my dearest friends in the world is a speaker in the United Kingdom who teaches this concept to the audiences she speaks to, corporate and public alike, and she knows what she's talking about from first-hand experience. 20 years ago, she received a phone call at work from the police department informing her that her only child, who was just 4 months old, had passed away while in the care of his babysitter, an unexplained crib death. Devastated, she took refuge in bed for weeks, overwhelmed with grief. Subsequently, her husband told her that he couldn't handle it anymore and that he was moving out. That's a 1-2 gut punch. Losing your livelihood and everything else. A short time later, living alone and barely back on her feet, attorneys unexpectedly knocked on her door one evening and asked if she was aware that the company she and her husband had started from scratch years earlier, which was by then grossing over $2 million a year in revenue, was actually bankrupt. They continued by telling her that it was just discovered that her husband had been embezzling money from the company to fund a failed, illicit massage services business he had secretly launched, which was the real reason that he moved out. The next year, her father passed away from brain cancer, and her mother died from an undiagnosed heart condition just 2 days after an emergency operation. In a relatively short span of time, she lost virtually everything and was literally living off of the kindness of strangers. Until one morning, something changed. Lying in bed and crying, still suffering from the loss of her son, she suddenly had the realization that she and her lost son would one day meet again, and that they would have a conversation that would go one of two ways. He would either say, "Mom, I'm so sorry you lost everything, but I'm so proud of you. You turned it all around. You got right back in the saddle and you rode. You held your light high enough to brighten the darkened paths of others who needed to know there was still hope in their own lives after experiencing their own heart-wrenching losses." Or the conversation could go something like, "Oh, Mom, I'm so, so very sorry. You weren't supposed to die when I died." She realized in that moment, on that morning, that the rest of her life was about the rest of her life. On the grief scale, she had earned every right to stay in bed and cry. She had lost more than most of us could ever comprehend losing. Yet she still had the choice to live the life that she was still blessed to have. Not gonna lie, that one tugs on my heartstrings rather personally. But from my own personal experience, I will absolutely echo what he just said. What she just said. Whoever this person is, because he's not not naming persons. Let me see. Nope, doesn't name the person. Doesn't name any of the persons, actually, unless I'm guessing he didn't get their permission. But so lost their child. their only child, lost their spouse, which after we, you know, read down farther, looks like that was actually a good thing, but that's a 1-2 devastating right there. Not just that he moved out, but that he wasn't the person you thought he was the entire time when the attorneys came knocking on your door. To find out that he'd been embezzling. Not just embezzling, but to fund an illicit massage services business, which basically is he's running a prostitution ring. Quote unquote, massage services. Then her dad passes away from brain cancer, and her mother dies from an undiagnosed heart condition 2 days after emergency surgery to try and fix that heart condition. I mean, that's just when it rains, it pours right then and there. Yeah, no, she earned every right, every single right, to sit there and just cry the rest of her life away. But for those of us who have lost someone super personal, unexpectedly, in ways like this, when we don't get to say goodbye, especially when that loss is a child, one day you wake up or someone tells you to your face, hopefully in a kind and gentle manner, one day you're going to meet them again. Are they going to say, "Mom, I'm so proud of you"? Or are they going to say, "Mom, I'm so sorry that you died when I did"? Which of those conversations do you want to have? And even going from there, you might do things imperfectly and stumble about and cry through tears and try your hardest. And you still might get some things wrong, but at least you got back up and tried. And then you got back up and you tried again. And then you got back up and you tried again. They died, you didn't. And while that does produce survivor's remorse, you're still here. You're not here to sit here and cry the rest of your life away, or to hold the world responsible for taking the person you love the most away from you. Neither of those positions will serve you. So when you go through things like this and then you hear people talking about how bad stuff doesn't actually happen and that you went through those things for a reason, especially if it's been a dunk session like this poor person went through, losing their child, losing their spouse, losing their mom and their dad, their business, their money, their livelihood, everything. That's a universe dunk session right there. And yet this woman goes around and is a featured teacher in the UK, tell me who it was, coming from that place of pain, telling people, no, there is still a light at the end of that dark tunnel. And I find it really interesting that it's those people who have been through those kinds of horrible experiences, who will stand up and tell you to your face, you can get through this. It's not a life sentence, it was just a lesson. And even though I'm at 30 minutes, I'm going to go over the end of her little story. Again, proper context. So, bad things do not happen in the grand scheme of life. Many years later, she and I became friends, and she attended a talk I gave in Manchester, England, covering exactly the material contained in this book. When I got to the part on adversity, I shared her story with my stunned audience of several hundred and then asked her if she would concur that bad things do not happen. Sorry, fire station. Okay, let me start that one back again. Alright, so when I got to the part on adversity, I shared her story with my stunned audience of several hundred and then asked her if she would concur that bad things do not happen. And she replied that while those were years of absolute horror and turmoil, they were also years filled with the greatest blessings she'd ever received. She now understands that she didn't lose her son, for they'll be together forever. Nor did she lose her parents, whose presence is only ever a thought away. On the other hand, she did lose what some might call, not me of course, a jerk of a husband. Moreover, she discovered a power within her as she alone fended for herself, which up until that point in her life she didn't even know she had. And that power now shines forth every single day of her life, personally and professionally, as the mother she later became, and as a professional speaker and corporate consultant. Get back in the saddle and ride. No matter where you've been, or one day might go, it will always remain a beautiful world, brimming with infinite possibilities for you to live the life you'd most like to live. Not gonna lie, I'm pretty heavily crying right now. And I completely agree with everything that he just said. And I concur with everything she just said. Yes, those can be years of absolute horror and turmoil and sadness and depression. Feeling worthless, hopeless, like a failure. The problem is if you sit there and wallow in those things and those feelings, what happens when you focus on something? You become the thing that you're focusing on. Reality becomes the thing that you're focusing on. So yes, you can feel worthless. You have every right to feel like a failure. You failed at this thing and it feels like, oh my God, the world is ending. You have the right to feel all of those uncomfortable negative emotions. You're not broken, you're not flawed, you're human. Right? And now looking back, I understand why the things happened that they did, and even the years after. Now looking back at that, now I have a better understanding of why things happened the way that they did. Right. See, and this is, here's a little bonus from me to you. When you're sitting there in that hugely traumatic experience and you don't figure out a way to get up, stand up, and march on and figure out something else to focus on, the feelings that you're feeling end up becoming your reality. If you're a parent and you feel like a failure because you didn't keep your child alive, you will start failing at other things. If you feel you fail as a parent, you're going to start failing as a parent in other areas. If you feel worthless because of one thing or another, you're going to start attracting things into your life that reinforce that you're worthless, because that's what you're focusing on. And that's why it can end up being so destructive. That's why I repeat it, everyone else repeats it, it's repeated ad nauseum. Find the things that bring you joy. Focus on the joy. Focus on the gratitude. Focus on the higher vibrational energies that help lift you out of that pain. And in doing so, you grow exponentially as a person. You become stronger. And I hope that made sense. And if I'm being honest, that's where the phrase rock bottom has created more success stories than average ever will. Because it forces you to do for yourself. It forces you to reevaluate your priorities in life. Where do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Really do. And are you going to accept that this is who you're going to be for the rest of your life? I held my own son in my arms and said goodbye. As much as that is a pain I don't wish on anyone, I will stand up and say, from that perspective, Mr. Dooley is correct. And I do refuse to live the rest of my life sitting and wallowing in pain and suffering, because that would not that would not make my son proud of me. That would not be a happy conversation. When you get done with this life and you're looking back, would you be proud of you? Would the people you've lost walk up and give you a hug and say, "We're proud of you for overcoming all those things and still doing your life anyway"? wasn't lying when I said these were heavy subjects. And even though it might seem probably, necessary, I'm not going to do our 2-minute brain break today because that's, whew, that was loaded. So I'm going to leave it with, don't make it a life sentence. Recognize it as the lesson and let the pain go. It is at once as difficult and shockingly as simple as that. Difficult only because internally you're going to find yourself fighting to hold on to it. Simple because all you really, sincerely need to do, visualize yourself letting the pain go. Internally, let the pain go. Tell yourself, I let the pain go. I don't need it anymore. Thank you for the lesson you taught me. I'm moving on with my life now. So, not gonna lie, I don't know that tomorrow will be any less heavy, so you may want to bring some tissues with you for the next one. And I thank you guys for listening. And I thank you guys for being here. Thank you. This is the podcast Asifras, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Good night.